It is very late now. A special meeting of the Kenya TOISD Board of Trustees. This is July the 25th, 2012. It is, I think it's 6:24.
Yes.
P.M. And Tony, would you please call roll?
Mrs. Cáceres?
Here.
Mr. Coronado? Mrs. Gonzalez? Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez? Mrs. Searles?
Here. For the record, Mrs. Gonzalez and Mr. Rodriguez are out of town.
Thank you.
And Tony, our only agenda item?
Review and possible action regarding bond management options available through the Texas Association of School Boards.
President Searles, board members, audience members, and we have four CBAC members here with us, and we appreciate y'all being here tonight. I'll introduce, we have Mike Brooks from TASB and Casey Sledge from TASB and also from
Sledge Engineering.
I apologize. We met them at our last TASB conference when we went to, well, I personally attended two sessions about bond management and TASB's interaction with the opportunity to do bond management. And I saw it as a really interesting twist to some of the conversations that not only the school board has been having, administration has been having, but also the CBAC. And I brought this to the board. President Searles, you'll remember I brought this to the board about a month ago.
Yes, sir.
And you directed administration to have these guys come out at their convenience when they could to present to the board their options and their thoughts about bond management. And I just have to tell you, they've been nothing but accommodating. They've come out here and have not only arrived today, but also been talking to us over the last week or so about what their plan would be and what they wanted to talk about. I've asked them to cut right to the heart of it. I don't think a lot of us need a lot of definition about what bond management is, but what is the best option regarding bond management? Now, that said, they might start with a little introduction about bond management, but I think they're gonna cut right to it. And appreciate it. And then, of course, we do have a quorum. We do have our president here. Of course, if we need to do a part two of this meeting, they've totally agreed to come back and do a part two if it's favorable and go forward. The last thing I want to say, and President, this would be up to you, but our thought would be that this would be very much a discussion type of board meeting, and I just need some direction to you regarding the CBAC members or other members of audience.
I think that personally what I was hoping might work would be if they put on their presentation, mm-hmm. just as they've got it planned, no questions, no anything, we all sit tight and listen. And at that point, we can adjourn and then open the meeting that, you know, everybody can just, if our CBAC members have questions, they can just sit right down with these people, ask them everything they want to ask them. Does that sound?
Okay.
Board members, do you? CBAC members sound fine? And that way there's no formalities. We can get real. Lily, you have a perplexed look.
You know me so well. I'm just wondering, like, if we have questions, anybody, CBAC or anybody else, is it still going to be on record?
Do you want it on record, Lily?
I would think so, as far as just so that when we get back to the whole committee of CBAC, there's no misunderstanding or miscommunication.
Can I offer a suggestion? What about if we adjourn and our wonderful secretary keeps the minutes.
She does it for CBAC.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the purpose.
So
of
does that sound
fine
to you?
That
so
we
have
would that be okay?
No. Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it is.
Then that's
point.
What'll be agreed upon. Mm-hmm.
Okay. It is a point though that. A board member could ask a question if they wanted to ask a question.
Oh, no.
No? You don't even want to do that? I mean, that is your prerogative.
I think we would all do best if we listened, write our questions down, and if we have questions, whatever they would be, there at the end of these
presentations. And then we would adjourn and then ask the questions as the community.
Or if the board members did have a question at that point, they could ask it. We'll adjourn then. Okay.
So you don't take action today?
No. I don't think that it'd be appropriate to take action. Lily, what I'm hoping is this, that tonight, you know, CBAC and the board, we've discussed A, B, C, all these options. We all know there's a need. But we haven't come to the conclusion, how is this need going to be built? Tonight is one of the steps in the process of hear how this need could be filled. You can take it back to your people, chew on it. You can see we're not a full board tonight. We'll take it to our people, chew on it. And then we've still got the other options we're looking at. You know, we've got like a person. We also have an RFP or Q? An RFP that we can make a really well-educated, we have all the information out. So is that, I have no intentions of making any decision tonight. No. This is only a step towards
that decision.
This is one option.
That's correct. This is, thank you, Adrienne, yes. One option, and I really appreciate y'all being here so that there won't be any miscommunication, that you hear just what we're hearing, okay?
And then one of the great things about TASB, them being so omnipresent in the board business across the state, they're going to present all the options and talk about pros and cons of all the options, so we'll get that looked at.
Okay, so let's roll, guys. Floor is yours.
Do I need to say, I was going to slide my chair around here, since you guys aren't up. Everyone see me?
We're good.
Okay. I am Mike Brooks. I think I've met everybody in here. We're not going to make a long spiel as far as program management. I think you guys have gone through the RFP process. You're probably as well versed as most people throughout the state. What I would like to say as far as TASB services with regard to program management services. We are here today and we are providing this service to school districts throughout the state because our board, which is made up of 40 different school board members throughout the state, told us to. They had needs. The majority of them were smaller schools that don't go through the bond process or the building improvement process often enough to have the knowledge or the experience to manage them adequately, or they don't have the time. So, this is one of those things where TASB only began participating and providing the service because the school said, hey, we need it. So it's nothing that we're trying to push off on you guys. Dr. Murphy mentioned that we were very accommodating. I think it's just the reverse. Dr. Murphy and Ms. Matthews, we visited with them for a couple of hours this afternoon. We've had a few phone calls over the last few days. And the main reason was for us to get to know Canateo ISD. There's 1,030 school districts in the state, and there's 1,030 Canateo ISDs. Everyone's a little bit different. So we were trying to get an idea of what your experience was so far. So they've been very nice. As Dr. Murphy said, we're going to talk about all four different options, which is the corporate option.
Which is our
RFP that was put out just a couple of months ago. Your existing staff, whether it be with just Ms. Matthews or an assistant, contract staff, or the TASB model. One thing I want to say right off the bat is we are a nonprofit. We are only here for schools. We're not here to talk or convince anybody into one of these. Quite naturally, of course, we're going to say our model is the best. that goes without saying. But with TASB, we do try to remain neutral throughout everything. So what we try to do is provide all of you with the information, and I was really glad to hear that you weren't making a decision tonight. I figured that was going to happen. The best step forward is to gather information and make a well-informed decision, not just for the people in this room, board members that aren't here, the CBAC committee, but the community, the students. Everyone's going to benefit from that. So, again, we're going to talk a little bit about each one, what we think are the pros and cons based on what we've experienced in the past. Again, we've sort of become familiar with the eight campuses you have and what looking at your 06 bond, your 2011 bond. So that's sort of what we're basing some of the opinions on tonight. And this is going to be a quick presentation because I'd rather get to the meat and have some good discussion between everybody. The first option, corporate project management. This is a viable option. It's used throughout the state at several different sized districts, small, large. It provides third-party consulting. Everyone's aware of that. Adequate if it's done right. It's not bad. It's not good. It just, you've got to find the right fit. It doesn't fully utilize your staff. A lot of times it sort of takes control away from the projects, and it becomes less of a Kenneteo ISD school project and more of a third-party project. And it's expensive. Any project that costs you money is expensive, but when you look at the amount of attention and the service that you're getting, that can be very cost prohibitive. Again, not trying to talk you out of it, just this is based on our experience. Do you want to talk? Well, no. Existing staff. One of the things. Bear with me, folks. Existing staff. One of the things that my background is, and I didn't want to belabor this, but I spent 9 years at a district, a little bit smaller. We had about 5,600 kids. So I understand the role of the maintenance department. I understand the administrative responsibilities, the maintenance tasks. There is, I believe, over 1 million square feet currently before the new addition. You've got 17 or 18 maintenance staff, probably 60 custodians. Right now you're running about 1,300 work orders per year. One of the things that your existing staff does is they maintain your existing facilities. One of the things that we preach to school districts, and one of the things that I practiced for 9 years, was there's the core responsibility of maintenance departments are to maintain existing facilities and make some minor improvements. There's a threshold, though. Once you cross that threshold, you're into capital improvements. And it actually takes away from some of the tasks that the maintenance department should be performing to make sure that the buildings are ready to open up at 7 o'clock in the morning, make sure that special projects during the summer are complete and ready to open in August. I went through this for 9 years, and it's understandable for school districts to say, well, these are small projects, but when you start looking at 140-plus 2011 potential projects, you've got a pretty large 150,000 square foot building that maintenance should be involved at some level. There's just a lot of different things going on. So the core idea of maintenance is once there's a threshold to where they're not maintaining, they're making improvements, drastic improvements, that something sacrifices. There's a level that, okay, there's so many hours in the week, there's so much work that has to be done towards the educational program. And that balance starts to go down the more there's work done outside of the educational program. The same goes for administration, superintendent. There is the educational program that he's solely responsible. He reports to you guys, and that's his sole responsibility. Trying to make sure that they have time to manage the educational program, that's what he's here for. Trying to make sure that Ms. Matthews' department is maintained, that's what they're supposed to do. Without going on and on, the existing staff, there's typically schools this size can maintain and perform some of these capital improvements. But when you start looking at the size, you know, $43 million and all of the 140 plus the 20 or so from 2006, there is a point where something will suffer. And the only reason we're here as TASB, the only reason you guys are here is because of 6,000 kids that you guys have a responsibility to. And I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. This is all everything everybody knows. But it's, you know, that's the one thing we try to make sure everyone understands, because sometimes, even I did when I worked at a district, we would lose track of what we were supposed to be doing, and we'd say, well, if we don't take care of this, we can focus on this for a while. But if it's not our core responsibilities, which is directly affecting the students, that's what you really need to focus on. Taking away from the maintenance department and administration and giving them a lot of this responsibility, something I think will suffer in the long run.
Mr. Brooks, what do you mean by your last bullet?
It's a little misleading on the name. When you just rely on staff, and I've been a staff member as well and overseen facilities myself and had staff do that in my career. The problem is when we throw new projects like capital projects or bond projects, you don't get to ask staff for the projects, get rid of staff after necessarily with just that kind of model. The inability to ramp up is really what they say. When I say ramp up, meaning have the ability to have more manpower to cover that job or cover that project. So you're just fixed. I mean, essentially, if you have X full-time employees, you've got them to do all those duties. And again, the issue is just something will give. Is that okay with the board? You know, is it okay if something gives? What's going to give? And my concern is usually, do you recognize until it's too late if things get overlooked and well, we don't have time to spend dealing with this because we had to focus on this priority of the day, which so many of us seem to do every day, is whatever's hot for the day. Later on, particularly in construction, you don't sometimes know about the issue until after it's too late, and then you realize this issue, and then it costs you money or time or concern, and trust goes down. And that's concern. A lot of times it's not the capabilities so much, though the experience level varies. It's just the time to really get into it. I mean, a lot of us might be capable of doing a lot of things, but if we don't have time to really dedicate to it, I think we all understand rushing through something or brushing over it, and later on you regret that.
I think the other thing I'd like to add to that, too, is when you do only have, when you're just using your existing staff, you are sort of limiting your resources. Now, granted, those resources may be pretty experienced and knowledgeable, but you're still only restricted to just your staff. I'm not sort of thinking outside the box sometimes. Contract staff, fairly similar to having the maintenance staff do it. It's a temporary hire. A few things that occur. Again, you still have that lack of resources. If you hire one person, you still have just that one person to go to. Difficult to find someone with bond program management. I think the other thing about this is you can either find someone with some bond program management, or you're going to find somebody with some school experience. I think you were fortunate with Ms. Matthews that she's got experience in both. I go through almost probably 25% of the school districts in the state per year. She's not, it's pretty rare to find someone like that, I'll be honest. So by that, it's going to be difficult finding someone to mirror her. And sort of going back to the in-house staff, if you went that route, are you going to have someone that can oversee the project but also maintain administration of maintenance department? It's not just the workload. It's not just, but it's payroll. It's purchase orders. It's long-range plans. It's budgeting. You know, you guys are fixing to go through the budget process. Can she either not work on the budget or can she work on projects? Contract staff, the same thing. The other important thing with contract staff, though, is at the end of it, you lose your person that was very familiar with and intimate with all of the projects. There's a lot of maintenance and operations information that should be conveyed to the maintenance department. Now, and I'll talk about it a little bit more later, but when you lose that person that knew everything about it or the majority of it, that can hurt you when you're trying to maintain and upgrade and decide what the best route to address certain maintenance issues in the future.
Another comment, talking about ramping up, you may be better off, depending on how many people you have, if you had to say one or even two contract hires, and sometimes they end up permanent, though it certainly, no, that's not the plan necessarily when you start them. The ramping up ability is still limited. Depending on the amount of work you have and the size of the bond, and you have a fairly large one, I mean, I think y'all know that, as opposed to, say, maybe if this was a $4 or $5 million entire project, said it'd be a lot different. But you're better with another person, certainly a lot better perhaps. But there's certainly times when these projects, particularly if you have one new campus for $40 million, particularly if it's a brand new one, that's one thing. It's got its own set of issues. But when you spread that across multiple campuses, existing campuses, it gets much more complicated. And often you're doing work in the summer over holiday or things like this, or you're much more constrained, just like a lot of folks are. We've been through that a lot. But sometimes you really need to ramp up and put, you need several people for the summer, perhaps, or for the winter, or whatever that is. So you're still limited. You're better, but you're still limited there. I've actually had the school districts ask us to help them find people in place and just know people in the industry. And it's always difficult. There's some really good people in the industry that know all sides of project management, construction management, and most of them are pretty well employed, frankly. And it's not hard to find. Usually in most towns, we don't have trouble finding someone with construction experience, varying degrees. And it's usually not too hard to find someone who can be there and report back and things like this. But it's not been easy for us to help districts find people. I mean, you might be different than maybe somebody here, but it's just difficult to find the right fit because there's not a lot of people with that. I mean, there's only so many bond projects happening. Not a lot of people do this for a living. So that's just some of the frustrations we've had doing that.
The other thing I'd like to add to that, too, is it's one thing to find someone possibly with some bond experience who managed it maybe as a third party also. But to know school policy, to know school procedure, to know school schedules, communications with schools, it's a different animal. Working in building a Walmart, managing a project that, you know, building a Walmart, it's completely different. You don't have school boards. You don't have the community that you have to report to. So there's a lot more at stake, and there's a lot more. Each step you take is based on school district. So a lot of the third-party people or the contract people just don't quite grasp the school environment. It's completely different. Okay, fourth option, which again we think is the best option, but we're not biased. I think the main thing, I'm going to say a few things here, I think the main thing to take away from the next minute or so, a couple of minutes, is that the TASB model is not one size fits all. It's not just walk up to the shelf and there's one option. We work with school districts that have 200 students. We've worked with some that have 33,000 students, 38,000. Some of the things that we've done at the large districts worked at the small ones, and some others didn't. Our model is what fits Canateo ISD. It can be as little attention and service as needed. It can be twice as much as what you think you need if that's what you guys say that you want. So that's the nicest part about it. But the basis of it, though, is our experience, our knowledge. Who are we? Most of you guys, I think you guys have been in our session, so you have a little bit of our background. But we focus on the people that we hire. We require school district experience. Not just on the construction side, but we want to have someone on the maintenance operations side. When we go in to help a school with program management, we're not just there to manage the project. We help with standard operating procedures, preventive maintenance plans, long-range planning beyond the package, you know, the bond package or the improvements at hand. There's a lot more to it. So you're not just getting construction program management. We have a strong background, again, in all the procurement laws, the codes, the building codes, TEA requirements, the space requirements. And in addition to some of the projects that we've worked with on Sledge Engineering, where we've done cafeterias and design review and kitchen equipment and multiple different facets. So it's several different levels. The other thing I think most importantly that we bring, though, is understanding the role of the board, understanding the roles of committees, administration, maintenance, our relationship with school districts and all those different parts, as well as the community. We know there's certain things that you need to communicate certain ways. Everyone understands that everybody should communicate. But when it comes to school projects, and when you're looking at $43 million that you're trying to explain to your taxpayers and say, we're taking care of it, not we, but you as the board, you have to communicate the right way, not just communicate and tell someone we did something, but there's a process, and getting to learn what Canateo expects, what the community expects, is how we build that. So going back to our sort of customizable services, we, you know, one of the questions before we came up here was, what are we going to do for Canateo? We don't know yet. We have a really good idea after the meetings that we've had today and the last couple of days of discussions. I think there's still some road to go down and figure things out for us as well as for you guys. Something else that we do, you know, that first item up there is blend third party with staff. Whenever we manage a project, whether it be a small project or a large project, there are still certain things the school district should have some involvement in. Now, it could be part of a maintenance supervisor visiting the site, meeting with them periodically, maintenance director, director of operations, whatever the position is, being involved to some extent. As long as that does not disrupt their operations and anything else that administration needs. So looking at that, we see most of the time we work with the school district. We learn how to get them involved where it's still their project. The worst thing that you can do is to hire someone to manage your project, start in January and February, they come and say, the project's done, and you've never stepped foot on it. You've never seen it. You don't know anything about it. It needs to stay your project, and that's one thing we feel really strong about is that we have that ability to know which things need to be brought to you, which things need to be informed at a certain level to maintain progress. You're 14 months, 15 months out from a bond, and you're trying to get the wheel rolling. We understand that, and it's important to set these procedures and policies up at the beginning that don't hinder progress in the future. I think everybody knows TASB. We've been a company for about 60 years. We're nonprofit. We are funded 100% by school districts. We can't go to work for HEB. We can't build a building for Walmart. The biggest thing that my boss always tells me, we do board training. And one of the things that we tell school boards is that we have a lot to lose. We don't tell a school district we can't work with you. We figure out the best way that benefits that school and benefits TASB because we have so many members. There's a lot on the line for us. I think you guys have 7 or 8 different services with us. Every school district in the state works with us in some capacity. So we have to strive to provide even better than the best service that we can imagine, because if we come in here and we don't do something right for Canateo ISD, Dr. Murphy, maybe 10 years down the road, is at another school district. And board members are at Summer Leadership Institute, talk to another board member. We have so much more to lose than your $43 million. It's important, but we have 1,000 school districts that we have responsibility to. So we feel that we're providing a very good, efficient model that benefits every school in some capacity. And I think at the end of the night, is the goal is to see how, actually when you guys walk away and go back to work on your committees and board, is to see, okay, how can one of these four options, maybe it's TASB's, maybe it's not. And that's something for you guys to decide, but did you want to say something?
Yeah, just want to jump in. I know, Mike, you got maybe another slide or two in there we may talk about, yeah. But I think we're trying to wrap up. And I want to let everybody know, real quick, what we really came here to do. Mike just hit on that. We really came here today because we want you to make the best decision for your district, and I think you would all agree that that's what you're going to do. That's why you're here tonight on your own time, and nobody here's getting paid or anything. We get all that. I appreciate that. We've both been in the public sector our entire careers. I mean, this is all we've known, so this is what we're used to doing. And if you guys pick any of these methods or none of them, if it's the right thing for you, that's great. What we're passionate about, and of course, what TASB is all about, is just helping you get to the right decision. And we mean that. It's fun to come out, but if you guys make a good decision tonight, we're going to feel just fine about coming out here and talking to you sincerely. So just want you to know that. You know, we don't have any kind of, don't feel any pressure or anything like that. Having said that, this is project management and the bond like yours, they're complicated projects. Probably understand that for the most part. You may not really have a good understanding of how complicated outside looking in at stuff. I've done it for going on 20 years, so there's nothing we hadn't seen that I think, anyway. These things are, I call them moving targets. You never know what's going to happen, and there's a surprise at every corner. It's a lot to deal with. It's bad enough to do it in a vacuum. When you add 7 board members, and citizens and taxpayers, it really complicates things. And you all are getting, you're up here volunteering your time for, you know, and the board of you guys as well. And of course, you're getting these pressures, and nothing you do is ever good enough for right. If you do it right, why didn't you do it sooner? And we get that. We get that a lot. One of the things, to me, your decision to be successful, I think what you've got to do is, of course, take care of business and then handle your projects correctly, obviously. But I'm always aware and cognizant of the idea that you're getting the information back to your community in the right way. I want you to finish this bond program with trust, and I know everybody wants that as well. Easy to say, hard to deliver. And you know, show everybody real well. You've got a committee, and it's great. The idea of any kind of oversight committee, I always applaud that. We'd like to all be on the same page. We want to help you do that. I don't know how many committees I've worked with. It's probably over 100 by now. I don't know. It's a lot. Very used to committee working of every size. Public information, town hall type meetings where we're getting the word out there. That's often overlooked. So many districts will go through projects. They might do a pretty good job, but if the people don't understand that and stuff. So I'm thinking that's a particularly big issue here. It is everywhere, but maybe more so here, making sure we're all unified and the district's moving forward and there's confidence across the way. I think you have a lot of good people putting a lot of effort forth here. Let's get on the same page and let you get out the door. I think everybody would want that. Just to wrap this slide up, the cost-effective portion, a lot of you may be sitting there going, okay, but what's this cost? and that's usually what everybody wants to know at the start. And I don't want to cop out of that answer too much, but it really just depends on what we end up doing. And it can be greatly different. We have worked on projects. I'm just finishing a $40 million bond program where we handled it 100%. That district said, I don't have any time. You go do this, and of course have us involved in all that, but handle everything. Where we came in and effectively handled it in a heavy way, it was highly successful, worked great. That's what they needed. On the other end of the spectrum, we've got plenty of districts we're working with, even right now, where it may just be, help me with this one little item, or so recently, more and more, it's we started a project without you or maybe anybody, and oh, we got in trouble. Come help me, you know, what did we do wrong and figure this out? And we started doing these project evaluations and went, oh, you missed this step, and what damage control, what do we do now? How do we get out of this? We're doing more and more of that. The reason I want you to know that is just to understand any of those levels can be helpful. And we're certainly capable of helping you a little, medium, a lot, anywhere in there. I think the best fit for Canutillo, certainly with the staff, you've got some good staff here, is to find what fits. And we've just met now, so I'm not real sure what fits, but it feels to me like you don't necessarily need the full, I mean, you might, but from what I can hear so far, you don't necessarily need the full help like some of the districts want. But I certainly think, and particularly with your list of projects, again, one campus, a lot different. I have not seen many bond project listings with this many items in them. It's an odd scope. The items themselves are not odd. We've done everything on that list before numerous times, but the way you've got them there, it's almost shotgun scattered, if you will, a little bit. I really had to get into that list. But I think for those reasons, you really need some help, certainly up front, getting back into this. I'm concerned about your budget and your estimates. I always am. The number one issue we face with any bond program is we didn't get enough money. Our estimates just weren't good up front. It doesn't matter who works on that. It's so common. It just happens all the time. It's difficult to estimate early. People get excited and get out quick, and prices change, and it's a moving target. It's just very hard to estimate these things. So that's an issue. And a last comment, and you could, I won't go into a lot of specifics, but you're welcome to, you can call and check and ask for yourself with other districts. We're able to provide a lot of cost savings or cost avoidance or cost reduction, not necessarily because we're geniuses or anything like that, but we have figured out what to look for on any of these projects, little or big. Some of the highlights that we've gone through, in fact, in this $40 million one we've just wrapped up, the design review alone, and that is where we go and critique just the plans. You know how thick those plans are and the spec books and everything else. At the TASB talks, we talked about that a little bit. in a $40 million bond election, we actually removed conservatively about $2.5 million worth of items that were generally over-designed. Some of them weren't, it wasn't necessarily bad design or bad architecture, there might have been a few things. A lot of them were issues that weren't communicated well. Mm-hmm. We didn't really need that. Or maybe we just thought it was a more efficient way to do it. We always seem to be working for a district, and maybe it's every district in the state, but it's just every penny so important. And so I've just, for years now, we've just always found a way to squeeze out. And another issue is those contracting specs and the contract review alone is almost an art in itself. There's so many things to look for in there. It's 1,000 pages, and you have to know where to go to protect yourself. And it's in a legal review just won't catch it. You might be able to litigate it well, but it doesn't mean it's going to save you the money. Another way that we save money a lot is just in the construction itself. I think on that $40 million job, we saved right about $700,000 to $800,000 after that design review. And by the way, with that money, what good was that? I mean, the cash was great and it sounds good, but what it did for that school, we added 8 classrooms to the high school, 8 light of tennis courts, and some other things that we didn't think we could afford. Yeah. So they got the opposite out of things. Another item I just want to throw out, and I do lean on the budget a lot, for any project, particularly nowadays, and particularly with some of the delivery methods, the most popular delivery methods, construction manager at risk for your large projects for a lot of reasons. But auditing these projects, one of the things we preach up there at TASB is, and if we do it or not, is to audit these things. And not many people can audit these right. It's a new construction manager at risk, and many other methods haven't been around a decade yet. So they're still fairly new. Many great advantages. They've made construction go much better and smarter in so many ways. But one of the issues that we're finding is as we do these construction audits, even on jobs we haven't been involved in, we're finding some real abuse. And some of it is probably known abuse. Some of it might be just mistaken abuse or double billings, things like this. We've pulled millions out of audits before, millions. I mean, a few thousand would be worth doing an audit, but I mean, it's got an issue. I think you're going to find a shift in the industry, I hope, where we can increase some accountability in some of these methods. But not many people are doing these audits, and I don't mean to scare or single them to doom. It's not that hard to do, but the methods just aren't understood that well. And until people have gone through them representing owners, I think it's hard. It takes that to learn it.
There you go.
I think the other thing I'd like to add, and I think we'll be wrapping up then, is, you know, Casey mentioned design review of larger projects. But you may be thinking, well, we've got 140 projects, some of them $30,000 worth of a concrete sidewalk. My background, you know, we managed anywhere from $2.5 to $5 million worth of smaller capital improvements with the district years ago. And a lot of those weren't large projects. They were roofs or they were track surfacing. And you can even do design review on those things. What we've learned is that each one of those projects, the scope can change. You know, what type of carpet? Well, the architect may have spec carpet for the new high school next door. Well, we're just going to continue with that new carpet. That may not be what's in that building. It may conflict, you know, just aesthetically, but also can the custodians and the maintenance department maintain what's being installed? So a lot of times, you know, mm-hmm. we step back and maybe you do need to spend $35,000 on a project because spending $30,000 on something the maintenance department can't maintain. So not just looking at simply the dollar and going with the least expensive bid, but finding out which one in the long run, 10 years from now, when Ms. Matthews is trying to maintain these 140 projects, were they done in a manner that brought the best benefit? That's not the least expensive, but you as board and committee, you're going to be going back out to the community someday. You know, you've done over $100 million, I think, in 12 or 13 years. You will do something again in 10 years or so. So doing your due diligence, not just in going and looking at these projects but and determining which ones need to move forward, but making sure that whoever is overseeing them, third-party staff, contract, TASB, whoever, that it's being done the right way for the right reasons, not necessarily for the engineer or the architect or the general contractor.
I have a question.
Yes.
I'm hearing from you, you can do this, you can do that, customize. Do you have a menu?
I know we use that word all the time.
we actually call it sort of a suite of services. It's actually a laundry list of all the things
okay.
we do for
so there is something that we could go through and go, yes, yes, yes,
well,
yes, no, no,
to
no,
a point,
no.
Once you know what you need and what projects you have, mm-hmm. yes. And basically our suite or laundry list of services is when we do full-blown program management. We've got a few schools that we're doing that with. We're there 3 to 4 days a week. We do payment applications. We do everything that could be imagined with the construction project.
So the answer is
yes,
you do have some.
Yes. Some of it's just very technical, though. I mean, it may be reviewing payment applications.
Uh-huh. I understand. But there is, we don't have to invent the wheel is
nope.
what I'm asking.
No.
You already know what it is, and we could
yes.
line that out. I have one other question. In looking at all this, I know there's a logistical problem. We're here. The rest of Texas isn't.
That's a nice way to put it.
I know that there's, I mean, you know, if we go, oh, they're putting up the walls today and we don't think this is right. Oh, well, gee, I can't get on a plane now. It's going to be 2 days. Well, shoot, they can't wait putting up the walls. It's for it to be finished on time, it's got to be this. Is there a possibility of combining services that we could say we hire a contract person or persons, I don't know what that would be, and you as well?
Absolutely.
And that you can work with someone else?
Yes, which is the very first
item. The blend. Okay, thank you.
I'm
sorry.
Where we can come in. And even if you, like I said, we feel that it's important that you do have some staff involved, your maintenance department staff. Now, I understand you don't have master plumbers, master electricians. You're very flat as far as your maintenance department goes. Not in a bad way. That's how you're structured. So there has to be some involvement, whether it be in a wall going up, new construction, and Ms. Matthews being able to run out there and look at something mm-hmm. with us. But taking certain staff through certain steps of the construction and renovation phase that they understand, 2 years later, they can walk through it and say, I remember this. As-builts are as-builts sometimes.
Yeah.
So, but yes, we do want to work with someone with your district. Now, we don't want to put the total responsibility on them and say...
No, but you want to draw them in the loop is
exactly,
what I'm hearing.
Absolutely.
You want to bring them in so that when you leave, everybody's not going, huh?
And
mm-hmm.
we do it mm-hmm. so it does not disrupt daily operations
okay.
on the maintenance side or...
Can I ask a clarifying question
one.
On your system? Thank you. going to this blend of third party with staff, that first bullet which you mentioned, and going back to Ms. Searle's question, it seemed like in our conversation this afternoon, a model emerged in our conversation where one very viable option would be to go ahead and hire the one contract person, your option two or option three, but then have TASB reinforce that one contract.
I think that's a great point. And it sure may be the case that it's hard to say that's the case today. Again, we're just here. I've seen districts do this every one of these ways, and they can all be successful, and they can all really mess up too. So what's right for here is what we've got to really determine. I'm feeling like that's probably a great plan, and really we just need to decide that issue. As far as the location, I'm glad to bring that up. That's I don't want that to ever be an elephant in the room or anything like that. And of course, TASB is all over the state, and we've been all over the state. We were just in Rock Springs the other day. It's halfway here.
Yeah.
But that is a very good reality, certainly for the two of us, because my wife lives over near Austin. She likes me to be there sometimes. And so that's a real issue. Now, there's a few ways to deal with that, and we've done every one of these. We talk about boots on the ground a lot, having someone here. That is so important. That's critical. Now, what level of boots on the ground, it depends on the project and everything else, and of course, staff. The first thing is to make sure we have the right amount of folks looking at the right things at the right time, and we know that it's happening, and we're reporting and talking. It's got to happen. And so how could that happen? Sometimes we can provide those people, capability-wise, no problem. We can get them here. I will tell you, it starts to get more expensive real quickly, and that's usually one of the reasons your third party or mm-hmm. your corporate stuff, it gets pretty expensive. That's one of the reasons, because they're mm-hmm. putting people on the ground a lot of hours. We can do it. It can work. No problem. I mean, you know, we can handle it that way. What I would really love to see, though, for the district, and I feel like we're heading that way because of your staff, and Dr. Murphy, is let's find ways to keep that cost down. There's no sense paying really high dollar person to be around to be around. I don't like that. That's not very efficient. We're all about, you know, being cost effective. Yeah. Let's find ways to put eyes on the ground. We've had projects where we've taken even relatively inexperienced folks, and we talk to them at the weekly or biweekly or whatever meeting. You need to be looking for this during the wall going up, and all you need is this, and you watch. And another thing I've got to throw out, just to make, I'm not sure where the district is, but technology's really come a long way. I mean, I sleep with my iPad and the video conferencing, and someone takes pictures and he sends me right. It, what's common now for me to do on projects, even 5 miles down the road, frankly, or over here, a plane away, is for a picture to happen, the set of plans follows it in the plan sheet, I pulled up the plans, I write on it, bubble it, send it right back, and in 5 minutes or 30 minutes, we've got a solution, or we decide to stop. We all got to leave.
Yeah.
Which is really the key thing.
Okay.
Is that you, so technology does help us a lot.
Thank you. That's comforting. Okay. That bridges the gap of
exactly
12 hours away.
Well, we tried.
Yeah. Okay. Are there any board members that want to ask a specific question? No? Hearing none then? Yes?
A lot of us sat through summer leadership, and I was fortunate enough to catch two of your presentations. And what really interests me is bridging the gap between CBAC and us and making sure that they understand where we are and what we're doing, and that's important to me. And I know it's important to the board.
Yeah, and that's why we put it on there. We think it's important as well. In any other group, for that matter. I mean, if another group shows up later, it's important. But it sounds like y'all have had a lot of history being involved in the bond creation. It's critical that that happen. And that's not necessarily a construction issue. It's easy to say it's a communication issue, of course. The way we try to address that, and there's only one way to do this right in my experience, and that is we've got to earn the trust of everybody, the board and the CBAC and any citizen, taxpayer around, by demonstrating what's going on with the projects and being open and completely transparent. It's the only way I can work. I'm not smart enough to hide things. I just can't pull it off. That's my wife. But being completely transparent like that is the only way to do public business. In fact, if folks don't like that, I just can't handle a project that way. So, but it plays the correct strengths. What I could see us having to get into is talking about how we're going to handle decisions, and there's a lot of information. I think you already know a lot of information flying by. You can't keep up, which lets you know there's difficult, and even folks with experience, it's a lot of information. If you don't have it organized, it's difficult. So how we do that is no small feat, but it's quite doable. How we keep them informed and get input, and I hear it's a pretty large group, frankly, which, you know, yes. Getting that meeting, maybe they meet so often regularly, and maybe a committee, or however everybody's comfortable doing it. But what I want to see, and we have success doing this a lot with even larger groups, is we're on the same page. We may not always agree, but we're all going to agree to move forward the right way.
I think the last thing I'd like to say is that the success of a project, you know, we came in on I guess, I-10 and saw your high school, drove around it, and impressed isn't even the word to describe it. And you sit back and you look at that and you think, that is a successful project. Is it? Mm-hmm. Successful was behind the scenes, was everybody informed through the whole process? And I don't know, good or bad or otherwise, but that's, to me, success of a project is not just, okay, we've got the keys and it's been commissioned and all of the building components are functioning the way they're supposed to, great. But were all seven board members happy? Was administration happy through the process? Was CBAC happy? Is the community happy? Generally, I mean, there's always going to be a couple. But the success is not just the physical structure and being on time and on budget. Those are very important things, but I think the success is all 20 or 25 committee members of however many committee members. And that's truly what we try to do, is try to find what fits this particular project. I'm working on two $23 million projects right now. And you think, well, they're very similar, dollar amount, the campuses to East Texas, South Texas. You can't even tell they're in the same state. It's unbelievable. Not just the politics, but the personalities each one has to be treated differently, but we're finding what fits each one.
Louis sticks his jokes.
We're totally different. Okay, I think then I'd like to, with no further questions or comments from board members, adjourn the meeting and everybody have some time to visit, ask questions, maybe exchange some cards
or something.
I also went to two of your sessions this summer, and I want to tell you something. I still have, just like Miss Lily over here, I hand wrote everything. I have been reading off those notes, using them as a crutch to help us so far for these past few months. So I appreciate what I learned from you this summer very much. Thank you.
That's why we do it.
And I do want the CVAC to know, I've been on the board since 1993. I did have a time off. But one thing I always knew, you may not feel comfortable with a lot of things, but you could call these people. It didn't matter what you needed to know. Was it a legal question? Was it a construction question? Was it a training question? Was it an evaluate the superintendent question? Didn't matter what it was. They had the expert answer, the knowledgeable, real answer, because all they do is deal with schools. So I find that to be very, a real mark in their favor. I just want y'all to know that if you're thinking, oh, well, I don't know about this, you know, we're not sure about these people, I can tell you and feel very secure. I've never had anything but good wisdom, good direction, and good results with y'all. So thank you for that, too, and that I am able to tell this committee that.
And for the record, we've actually talked schools out of using our services before, where it was not advantageous for them to do so.
Yeah.
And we don't have a problem doing that. I don't get a bonus. I don't, whether talking them into it or out of it. So we get to put our heads down on our pillows at night and sleep. And that's not to say that there's, that, you know, that our competitors are bad, but we feel very comfortable about the services that we provide schools.
Thank you, men.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. And